Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by OmniAlert. OmniAlert's mass notification platform allows you to instantly send text messages, emails, and more to your entire organization. For a 2-week free trial and 20% off your first year of service, visit OmniAlert.com/TWIT and use the offer code HAMNATION. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HAMNATION.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 116 for September 25th, 2013. Analyze this. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. Bob is on the road this week, so I'm sitting in the chair here along with Gordon and Amanda and Don, and Dale and Cheryl will be in a little bit later with us tonight. We've got a good show coming up here. Gordo, what's going to be going on in your corner of the world tonight?
Well, we are getting ready for PacificCon, still about 3 weeks away. Don Arnold, W6GPS, and I will be squawking on Kenwood and ABMAP gear all the way up there in October. And we're going to have a little contest of our own on that Wednesday that we're not here. So what's going on here is we're going manual tuning tonight. We'll give you more about that shortly. So, George, back to you.
Manual tuning is half the fun of ham radio, I believe. Amanda, I know you're with us tonight, and you're going to have a little report later. Did you ever get that new nickname you were looking for?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to be working on that tonight, and I think I'm going to hold my own contest to let our viewers decide what my disaster name is going to be. Everybody else gets a comic character. No, I have a disaster name. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Amanda. And Don Wilbanks is with us from down south. Don, it's your birthday, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's my birthday today, so thank you for that. And had a great day, and looking forward to a good weekend. We're actually, I think, going to have my birthday party on Sunday since I'm a little bit busy tonight. But it's been a great day. So, yeah, 53, and I feel like I'm 33. So, look at that.
Birthday to Don. Happy birthday to Don. Now, our birthday to Don.
Yeah, Gordo, Bob, was that your cat?
To Don.
Yeah, Bob was
out. That was not our cat. But we do have something special for you, Don. It'll take just a moment to get going.
You know, back to the cat video, I was just thinking, Bob Heil has really let himself go.
Yeah, well, you know, we couldn't have Bob here tonight, and we had to have a stand-in there, and we couldn't really come up with a theater organ either. So this is the best we could do, Don. Happy birthday.
It's the same color as Bob's hair, though. That's what's funny about it. Look at it. We love you, Bob. We miss you. That's awesome.
And, Donnie, we've got it going here, Donnie.
Okay.
I think here. All right, Donnie. Okay, on the count of three, you got to blow them all out. Oh.
Okay.
Everybody help him out. One, two, three. One left. Happy birthday, Donnie.
Thank you, my friends. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Don. You know, we got a special event coming up here in a couple of weeks. The Jamboree on the Air with the Boy Scouts is going to be October 19th and 20th. So make your plans to drop in there and do a little QSOing with the Boy Scouts. And, you know, last week I started talking about VSWR, and this week we're going to follow along on that subject and introduce you to antenna analyzers. Last week on Smoke and Solder, we began talking about SWR. This week, we'll pick up where we left off.
Now, the basic idea here is that we'd like to have the forward power as high as we can, and the reflected power as low as possible. That's why we would tune our antenna, either manually tuning the antenna itself or using an antenna tuner to reduce that amount of reflected power. When we shorten or lengthen our antenna, we'll find that it affects the reflected power. Our goal here is to get the antenna resonant. At that point, the reflected power should be as low as possible. Now, it'll be different on different frequencies. If I change frequencies on the radio, I'll see that the reflected power increases. All you need is an SWR meter to adjust your antenna.
Now, if you want an easier and quicker way to adjust your antenna, then antenna analyzers are well worth taking a look at. No one has made more antenna analyzers or sold more than MFJ Enterprises. And I've got three here today we're just going to take a brief look at. This is the MFJ-259B. This is probably the standard by which all other analyzers are compared. This is a new model by MFJ. It's the MFJ-266C. And here is the MFJ-225, a brand new one. Each of these analyzers has their own strength. The venerable old MFJ-259B has analog meters on it that make it easy to see what you're adjusting as you go, and as well, it'll show you the frequency and the impedance and reactance and resistance all right there, and it'll do a lot of other measurements as well. Now, the new 266C does not have the meters on it. However, it gives you a bar graph here instead, and this one covers HF, VHF, 220, and UHF. And one thing I like about it is that it's got a vernier tuning knob there that makes it real easy to dial right in on the frequency that you want. Now, there are other models like the 259B that also cover UHF, but this is just the latest one they have that does that. And this one right here, I'm really beginning to like. This is the MFJ Graphic Antenna Analyzer, the MFJ-225. This one actually will give you a graph showing you the reflected power. So let's just take a quick look at these. With the 259B set here to measure SWR, I've selected the 20-meter band. We can see the SWR easy enough right here on the analog meters, as well as how many ohms the antenna is, and it's almost right on 50 there, according to this meter. But we've also got digital displays up here that tells us it's actually a resistance of 44 ohms and a reactance of 21 ohms. They're saying a 1.5 here. Our meter's a little higher than that, but they're kind of in the ballpark with each other. These are the readings I would go by. These just help you easily tune it. As I turn the frequency down, I find the resonant point of this antenna is actually below the 20-meter band. It's down around 13.8. So this antenna should be just a little bit shorter to really be resonant on 20 meters. However, I can go near the top end of the 20-meter band, and my SWR is still only a 1.6, which is usable. By comparison, if I try the MFJ-266C, and I'm tuned near the top of the 20-meter band here, I can see that I have an SWR of 1.6, which is pretty close to what we had on the 259. And the thing that's nice about this one is that it's easy to change the frequency in small amounts. But also, it covers all these bands, HF, VHF, 220, and UHF. It's going to cover just about anything that you could possibly want to measure. Now, here's the MFJ-225. We can see the display is totally different on it. Right here in the center is 14.350 megahertz in the 20-meter band. SWR up here it's showing is 1.69, which is kind of close to the others. The resistance is 41 ohms. The reactance is 22 ohms, and it even shows us the phase here. And it shows us the impedance, which is a combination of the resistance and reactance, is 46 ohms. We can see here that we're about where we thought we would be on this antenna. Now, if we start changing the frequency here, we can see this little dip right here in the graph. That's showing us where the antenna is resonant or lowest reflected power. And we can see that it drops all the way down to 1.13, which is almost perfect.
and that's at 13.82 megahertz. So as we determined earlier, this antenna really needs to be just a little bit shorter. But with the graph here, we can see how wide the bandwidth of the antenna is. There's also a couple other neat functions on here. It will do some advanced measurements with a separate input here on it. It also has a USB port here, which gives you some great capabilities when you add a computer to this. Out of the three analyzers we've looked at today, this is probably going to be my favorite. I've only been playing with it for a few days, so I've got some more learning to do, but I really like having this wide range of frequencies displayed all at once. It makes tuning your antenna, to me, that much easier, and you can easily see the bandwidth of it. Now, this one only goes from 1 to 180 megahertz, which means it'll be good for HF and VHF, but it won't cover 220 and UHF. That's where the MFJ-266C might be a better choice. But if all you need to cover is up to VHF, I'm thinking this one is going to be really hard to beat. I'm going to do some more playing with it, and we'll tell you later how all that turns out. So out of these three analyzers, which one should you choose? Well, that depends on what you want to do. And these aren't your only three choices. MFJ makes a lot more antenna analyzers than just these three models, and there are other companies that make them as well. The 259B, I would say the strength of it is the fact that you've got these analog meters so that you can look at them and make quick adjustments with it. It also measures a variety of other RF-related measurements that the other two don't, although they do some extra functions as well. The MFJ-266C I like because it covers 220 and UHF as well. And the MFJ-225, it's going to be hard for me to turn down the graphics there. I really like looking at my antenna that way. So it's really anybody's guess as to which one's the best. It just depends on what your application is. And one more thing, that formula we were looking at in the beginning, let's try that out. Let's try 70 watts of forward power and 13 watts of reflected power. We can see the VSWR calculates to be 2.514. That's pretty close to where the two needles intersect here on the red scale. So there you go, a quick look at three nice antenna analyzers. Gordo, which of those three would be your favorite?
I would probably get all three, but I'm on a economy deal, and this is the one that I use. And, you know, MFJ makes $100 analyzers, and while they don't have a digital readout, you can hear the tone sweep through your receiver. But, I have the good old 259. That's my favorite. Back to you.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the 259, but that new 225 there, boy, that is something. I've got to do some more playing with that, and we'll get back and tell you a little more about it. Well, last week I asked a question, what does VSWR stand for? And I got a lot of answers this time around. Everybody seems to want this ARRL 2013 handbook, courtesy of Frank and the guys over at cheapham.com, and I don't blame them. You need an ARRL handbook on your desk there. But the one who won is Stuart, WB6RXG. And Stuart says VSWR stands for Voltage Standing Wave Ratio. So congratulations, Stuart. We'll be shipping this out to you this week. And for next week, I've got another question. What year did MFJ release the MFJ-259B antenna analyzer? If you think you know the answer to that, then you could win a copy of Jerry Busting's Constructing HF Wire Antennas. This is the last copy of the book I got, so you need to throw your name in the hat now. Send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win next week. Oh, what's that? Stand by for an important message here from Don.
Yeah, we do have an important message, as a matter of fact. It threw me for a loop here. We have a brand new advertiser, new sponsor for Ham Nation, and we thank them for their support. It is a neat little place called OmniAlert. Now, every organization needs an effective way to communicate during important situations. 7.5 million people and over 15,000 organizations have already found out that OmniAlert is the perfect solution to their critical communications need. It is a cloud-based platform, and it enables managers to distribute simultaneous text messages, phone calls, emails, desktop alerts, and more. OmniAlert can even update web pages, social media, digital signage, and countless other services. There are 1,000,001 uses for this. Hospitals, fire departments, other emergency services use OmniAlert to replace one-way pagers. They deliver critical information and summon first responders that way. Universities and colleges use OmniAlert to report campus crimes and notify students in case of emergencies. Your K-12 elementary schools and high schools use the services for everything from automated attendance calls to reporting lockdowns, notifying parents about head lice, snow days, things like that. Sports teams and community groups use it when they need to cancel and postpone events due to weather, other unforeseen circumstances. Companies of any size can use it to notify employees about everything from server downtime to local traffic conditions if you got a bunch of people in your work that commute. It can be administrated from any desktop, any smartphone, any tablet. There is no software to install. Peace of mind. This has 2048-bit SSL encryption. It's amazing. You can import users easy. You can even let users opt in via a text message. Eliminates emotion and stress. You can plan scenarios ahead of time. When the time comes, you just deliver the information with one click. You can see how this would be just a great thing for your company. It's recognized as an industry leader by FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, not just for emergencies, though. OmniAlert can also inform people in your organization about weather conditions, IT issues, emails or servers being down, a whole lot more. Some of their customers include the American Red Cross, UNICEF, DuPont, Pratt & Whitney, Philips, Mazda, Bayer, Cal Poly. Even the Petaluma High School out there by Twit uses it there for their baseball team. Over 98% of OmniAlert customers renew their service every year. That's how good it is. And the customer support, hassle-free. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You need someone, they are there. And the prices start as low as $2 per user per month on the basic plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to experience OmniAlert's award-winning critical communication services for your organization or company. For a 2-week risk-free trial and 20% off your first year of service, visit omnialert.com/twit, O-M-N-I-L-E-R-T, omnialert.com/twit. You use the offer code HAMNATION, omnialert.com/twit, HAMNATION. And OmniAlert, we thank you for your support of HAMNATION. Great, great stuff. Now let's go over to the left coast and see what Gordon's got up his sleeve with short shots.
All right. Thanks, Don. And we remind everybody that for low SWR, do your tuning at the antenna. That is, to minimize any losses in the feed line and so on, if you tune the antenna properly, then you'll have very low voltage standing wave ratio. So work the antenna. Some antennas, like the off-center fed Wyndham, will work on most bands, but occasionally you need the help of a tuner. Today's worldwide ham radios have tuners built in, and they'll bring the SWR of the antenna and the feed line down to 1-to-1, but only if the SWR is lower than 2-to-1. Another way of tuning, let's say a random wire, and these are tuners that I use a lot down at Christmas Island in the Pacific. And this particular antenna tuner, the AH4 from ICOM America, goes way up on a palm tree. For grounding, we use copper foil, and it's a great performer and automatically tunes whatever length of wire to the radio's coax coming down from the automatic antenna tuner. But, you know, there's a time when you don't have too much SWR and you're operating maybe on Mars or CAP frequencies beyond the range of your normal transceiver. And there we would consider a manual tuner. And one of the most popular series, of course, are the MFJ manual tuners. And I hear all sorts of war stories that, well, I just couldn't tune my manual tuner to find resonance and so on. Well, let me show you how we do it. First of all, we attach the manual tuner's chassis to a good ground, and we always try and use for manual tuners a low reactance ground. And this comes from ham radio outlet stores. Metal and Cable perform this great manufacturer of the copper foil, 3-inch wide. All of my equipment here at the shack is well grounded. So we got our tuner grounded. We got it piped into the radio. We're going to turn up the volume on the radio. And you can hear that volume come up. And once we have the volume up, we're going to set the outside antenna and the transceiver knob straight up and down. And then we're going to, on receive, rotate the inductance knob, tapping to different points of the coil. Now take a listen. Hear it get louder? Not very loud. Better, better, better. Now, once we've got maximum noise coming through, we rotate both the right and the left capacity knobs. And we go for maximum noise. And then we, one more time, double check that our inductance is correct. No good. Better. That's it. And then we go ahead and we transmit, and using only the outside capacitor knobs, we bring the SWR, as seen on either the single or the dual action needle, down to 1-to-1. And we do that normally on AM. We do it on a frequency that we're authorized, and we never tune up on a net. Always try and find a vacant frequency. We'll show you the tune-up next week. If we dare tune up tonight, we'll take ourselves out of Skype, because remember, we're only fooling the radio, not the antenna way up there, that we've got low SWR. So you do have some standing waves coming down the coax, and if that comes into your shack, try and do it on Skype, and you'd be off the Skype airwaves. So this is a manual tuner. And again, to find that sweet spot, turn up the volume and adjust the inductance knob. Minimum, better. There we are, nice and loud. Not good. That's where we want it. Then adjust the outside two capacity knobs, and then transmit briefly on AM, and you should have a fairly low SWR. And by just the right knob, maybe the left, usually it's the right knob, a slight turn will bring that SWR down to 1-to-1. So that's the word on manual tuners. They are good, and they're cheap, $50 to $75. Automatic tuners are about $300. Remember, the tuner for automatic goes way up at the feed point, not right beside the radio. You'd be putting all that RF right in your face. So that's the deal on automatic tuners. And now let's tune in to Amanda and find out what's happening with the pink lady out in Colorado. So Amanda, over to you. Here's Amanda.
And by the way, great instruction video there. Loved it. You're going to have to help me out with 80 meters because every time we tune up, I key down and talk. My frequency somehow sets off our house alarm. Anyhow, Jeff doesn't do it. Only my voice does it. Help me out with that some other time. Let's catch up with Colorado. First of all, the floods. We're still in action here, not me personally in Aries, but they're still out on a few remote locations. And they've done some awesome things with amateur TV and using drones at the same time. It's kind of neat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would love to have that guy on. Alan Bishop is one of the ones that controls that up there in Boulder, Aries. And it's been a pretty neat introduction to helping them see where more damage has been, where in remote locations, things like that. So Colorado, we're starting to recover, you guys, but it's a slow process. Anyhow, since, you know, I'm always on here when we have a disaster here in Colorado, we decided let's name Amanda some disaster name. So I did get a few emails. And so what I'm going to do is let you guys email me another week. We're going to pick out the best ones, and then we're going to let you guys vote on it. And after that, everybody that has submitted a name for me will make a drawing, and whoever wins, you're going to get free QSL cards from me. How about that? So let's go over some of the names I've gotten so far. The guys have a, there we go, Calamity. That was kind of funny. What was the next one? Now I can't even remember. Amanda Apocalypse. And, well, okay, this one, he sent, and I can't remember his call sign, darn it, but he's from the UK, I think it's G4SKU. And if I got that wrong, I'm really sorry. But he said Amanda Armageddon. And I said, oh, let's just shorten that up to Amandageddon. So anyhow, you guys, let me know what you think. Send me my disaster name. And we'll vote on it at some point in time. Not sure if it will be next week, but we'll take a vote. Anyhow, other than that, my own Aries district was busy doing great things for a bike ride. Real proud of our Aries, Colorado Aries for that matter, and how we're handling keeping communications up with all of the disasters around us. So other than that, I don't think I have much. So I think it's Dawn. By the way, happy birthday. That's why I'm wearing this silly hat. All
thank
for you.
Darling. The unsinkable DDN. That's my
I say dumb Denver Nuggets when it comes to DDN. Sorry, Coloradoans.
That's great. Well, I'm glad that you guys are drying out there. Man, watching all the flooding almost gave me a Katrina flashback. We were lucky. We only had 4 feet of water in our house for Katrina. But, God, in fact, you're going to see some amazing footage on the Amateur Radio Newsline headline report coming up right now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1884, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. Ham Radio was a first responder as a week of torrential rainfall brought destruction to parts of Colorado. Jack Siaccia, WM0G, is the ARRL Colorado Section Manager.
The hams in the local Aries groups reported to the regional and local county emergency operations centers and manned their positions. Plus, the state emergency operations center in Centennial, Colorado, was opened and staffed by senior Aries personnel. And the next thing that happened was we started hearing of evacuation centers being opened kind of spontaneously because they're, a large building in a dry area was the only criteria. And as fast as we could, we needed to get communications to them because in many of the mountain areas where these evacuation centers were, there was no other means of communication. We were fortunate enough to have some hams located in some of the remote areas, which is another project that we had created over the past years since the fires called the Mountain Emergency Radio Network, which was a small network of repeaters. The local Aries hams have trained upwards of 60 mountain residents who have gotten their licenses. And then we repurposed a bunch of wideband VHF radios, handy talkies, and mobiles for their use to utilize these repeaters. And we were told by the fire chief up in one of those remote communities that had it not been for that MERN repeater system, there probably would have been a lot more deaths because people were able to communicate to each other what was happening, where the destruction was, and how to get out. The disaster assessment teams from the Red Cross and from the counties will be mobilized, and we have been asked to provide hams and radios and also video cameras to record video of the disaster areas. So we will be taking on that assignment as well.
Some 200 ham radio volunteers have been deployed in and around the various flood-stricken counties, with some providing communication where no other means existed or still exists. From search assistance, evacuations, shelter communications, and logistics to disaster assessment and more, Colorado's amateur radio operators are there. A very informative guidebook authored by Ross Merlin, WA2WDT, entitled NIFOG, is described as a great go-to compendium of radio frequencies, channels, and other tidbits of information that can be essential in times of emergency. The guide contains page after page of frequency information, operating procedures, formulas, and rules and regulations from both the FCC and the NTIA. Specific subject material includes frequency and channel data for fire, EMS, police, law enforcement, as well as mutual aid channels in VHF, UHF, 700 megahertz, and others. Also included, communications information for Marine, Aviation, NOAA Weather, MERS, GMRS, FRS, and just about any radio you might encounter in an emergency. The guidebook is available in printed and downloadable formats. The website is publicsafetytools.info, and copies printed on waterproof paper are reportedly available free of charge from the Department of Homeland Security. Just send an email to nifog@hq.dhs.gov for details. Here's some high-flying ham radio fun for you. The October Sky Rocket Boys Festival takes place October 4th to the 6th in Beckley, West Virginia. And as part of the celebration, the Black Diamond Amateur Radio Club will be operating a special event station October 5th with the call sign W8R. The frequencies to be listening on are 7.280 and 14.280, plus or minus 3 kilohertz. You'll find out more on the web at qsl.net/WV8BD. Just click on the events page. The expeditions to Scarborough Reef and other locations in that region could become a lot harder, if not impossible, if China makes good on its expected move to occupy a disputed chain of shoals in the South China Sea. Scarborough Shoal, or Reef, is also known as Huangyan Island. It's located between the Macclesfield Bank and Luzon Island of the Philippines in the South China Sea. It's a disputed territory claimed by the People's Republic of China, Taiwan, and the Philippines. The shoal status is often discussed in conjunction with other territorial disputes in the South China Sea, such as those involving the Spratly Islands or the Paracel Islands. Since the 2012 Scarborough Shoal standoff, access to the territory has been restricted by the People's Republic of China. Tension in the South China Sea has risen of late as China uses its growing naval might to assert extensive claims over the oil and gas-rich waters more forcefully. This, in turn, has been fueling fears of a military clash for some time. The last major operation from Scarborough was 2007. The BS-7H team made over 45,000 QSOs. Currently, Scarborough is listed as number 7 in the latest Most Needed list published by the DX magazine. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Pretty amazing video that we saw there from Colorado. The scene that you saw just before you saw the soldier actually picking someone up and putting them into the truck, that was from a fire truck, and that was the water coming over the front of the fire truck onto the windshield. And you can imagine how you know how big a fire truck is, how tall that had to been. That was just some amazing water. So our hearts, of course, go out there to those folks in Colorado. And Amanda, we're so glad that you and Jeff are safe out there. So many people still in harm's way, and we'll continue to cover that story. But right now, let's head up towards Kansas where, no, there's no flooding. The water just sits there in puddles. It's Dale. How are you tonight, Dale?
Okay. Well, thank you, Gordon. And Don, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Let me tell you this evening, there's some very talented hams out there watching Ham Nation and producing videos. Wait till you see tonight's finale. MTV will never be the same. We're going to get things started with a look at the 2013 Digital Amateur Television QSO Party. It was held on August 30th and 31st when hams in Australia used Skype to link their DAT repeater with one in California and another in Ohio. Don Hill, KE6BXT, put together this report for Ham Nation, and it's kind of amazing. Let's watch together.
CQ, 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 the third annual Digital Amateur Television QSO Party was held on Friday, August 30th, 2013, in Southern California. That was Friday and Saturday, August 30th and 31st, 2013, in Victoria, Australia. The first digital ATV QSO party was held in 2011 to celebrate 100 years of ham radio in Victoria, Australia. Peter, VK3BFG, and Don, KE6BXT, linked the ATV repeater VK3RTV near Melbourne, Australia, with the W6ATN ATV repeater in Southern California. This year was our third year for the QSO party, and we also linked in WR8ATV, the ATV repeater in Central Ohio. But what is an ATV QSO party? Let's take a look at some of the participants from this year's event.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the third annual ATV QSO party.
G'day everyone, VK3KQ.
Tell us, so Ralph, VK3 Lima Lima, back with you again.
G'day everyone again, VK3KQ. on VK3ATV. Located in Williamstown in Melbourne, a western suburb of Melbourne.
Been a brief look at the 2013 DATVUQ Show Party. Join us in 2014 for the fourth annual DATVUQ Show Party. If you don't have ATV, you're not seeing the whole picture. And you can join us via Skype. For additional information, go to http://ke6bxt.com/DATVQSOParty.
Very good. Thank you very much, Don. The picture quality over these amateur TV digital repeaters is fantastic. And Don, we're glad you showed us that. And while we're talking about amateur TV, we're going to move right into the club website of the week. And that website is atn-tv.org. This week's site was submitted by Bill Munsell, K1ATV in Mesa, Arizona. He believes that hams should be seen as well as heard. If you're interested in more information about amateur TV, this site's a great starting place. It's easy to navigate, and it has plenty of links to valuable information about this aspect of our hobby. Bill also said there's something new coming, but it's too early to talk about it. Can't wait, and we'll let you know what we hear. Well, last week we started a three-part series to demonstrate how hams can use spectrum analyzers in their stations. Tonight, with part two, scope versus signal analyzer, here's David Haygood, N0YKG.
On 12, George was showing you some modulation on an oscilloscope, and he mentioned there are some things you couldn't see on an oscilloscope that needed a spectrum analyzer. I'm David Haygood, N0YKG, and I thought I'd show you those modulations on a spectrum analyzer. We'll start with AM like he did. Now, as you can see, when I do AM, we have the carrier, and we have the two signals in either side of the carrier. And as you can see, the more signal I give, the more those signals go up, the carrier stays the same. Now we'll do lower sideband. Now you can see that all the signal is on the low side of the spectrum and there's nothing above the signal. And you can also see that there's no carrier. Now, he showed you upper sideband and showed you that he couldn't see the difference on an oscilloscope. We can on a spectrum analyzer. Here's upper sideband. And again, all the signal's on the upper side of the signal. There's no carrier. And that we can see differently on the two spectrums. Last, let's do FM. Now, here's an FM signal. It looks completely different. You'll see as I modulate it, it gets these weird side lobes on it, and then they go away, and they don't look anything like the signal that I'm putting in. That's why FM's FM. It's completely different modulation scheme. Those are some of the things that you really need a spectrum analyzer to see the difference from, and a scope really won't show you. So hopefully this will give you a little bit more insight as to that aspect of things. I'm David Haygood, N0YKG, and I hope you enjoyed this.
Well, thank you very much, David. Next week, antenna diplexer meets spectrum analyzer. We have ideas for two more spectrum analyzer videos, how to tell when your spectrum analyzer is lying, and tuning a repeater duplexer with a spectrum analyzer. please let us know if you'd like us to produce these, and we'll get to work. Well, we promised to finish the evening with a great music video. It comes from Charles Locke, W4CLE. He told us that a very good friend and ham, Mike G, W9 Quebec Oscar, often refers to his XYL Bobby as Q5QRM. That's an honorary call sign she received from some friends while they lived in Texas. Charles said he thought it'd make a fun song to do. So he sat down and wrote that song. Then he decided the song needed a video. Mike and Bobby volunteered to be the actors, and Charles went to work to learn Final Cut Pro. The band members are Charles Locke, W4CLE, on guitar, Bruce Davis, W4BED, on drums, and soon-to-be-licensed Dave Mathis on bass guitar. So get your dancing shoes on. Let's roll it.
Cluster conditions really fine. Heard the one I needed at a full last nine. Loaded up the finals, tuned them really tight. Knew I had this one with very little fight. Q5 QRM, woman of my dreams. Harmful interference is the worst I've ever seen. Had an awful feeling as I spoke into the mic. Something's been forgotten, doesn't feel just right. Checked out all the settings, verified I'm split. Band police are squawking, but I don't think that was it.
Stop, you dummy, he's lifting up.
Q5QRM, woman of my dreams. Your harmful interference is the worst I've ever seen. Then I heard her footsteps coming down the stairs. Suddenly reminded that I better say a prayer. Lord, keep her moving right on past my door. This is one cue so that I really need to score. QRM, woman of my dreams. Your harmful interference is the worst I've ever seen. Luck was not with me as she stormed into my shack. Wish they made a filter to cancel out her yak. Finally went quiet as the station QRT. Another day with an empty log is a life for me. Q5QRM, woman of my dreams. Your harmful interference is the worst, worst I've ever seen.
Great job, Charles. Let's see MTV match that, huh? And thanks to Mike and Bobby for the super acting job. You know, this video just might go viral here in the Ham Nation community. Well, that's it for tonight. Don't forget to vote for your favorite Ham Nation video in September. The winner will receive this BRG self-setting clock for the Ham Shack from Mark KB0MOF. He's down at the Ham Radio Center in Derby, Kansas. Just click on contest at www.hamnationvideos.info. And make sure to submit your nomination for the club website of the week and your videos to hamnationvideos@twi.tv. While we've been flying blind tonight, the screen with the feedback from Twit went black just before we went on the air. So it's been a lot of fun. 73 from the Yellow Brick Road. And let's move up now to Northern Illinois. And Cheryl, K9BIK. Cheryl, what's the question of the day in the chat room?
Hi there, Dale. And I'll tell you what. There's quite a few questions here, but I want to say hello to everybody out there. I'm so very happy to be here. And first off, I do have a quick announcement. And I wanted to just say, if you haven't already done so, check out the Virtual Ham Fest on the AES website. You'll find for sale lots of excess test equipment, parts, manuals, and goodies. There's a big selection of radios that were accumulated due to being not repairable because of damage, lightning, or unavailability of parts. All items are being offered as is without any type of guarantee, but you might just find the parts you need to fix up one of your projects. There are hundreds of items, and they have just started posting pictures, so check out the site frequently. Just go to www.aesham.com. Then click on the Virtual Ham Fest. You might just find what you're looking for. Thanks, and here we go with the questions. Okay. This one's for you, Gordo. Hi, how are you tonight?
I am fine. Thank you, Cheryl. Go ahead with a cue.
Okay. This one comes from Don, KF5WQI. He says, is there a way to connect a vertical multiband and a multiband dipole using just one feed line? I think that's unusual, but is something you can shed some light on there?
Let's see. A vertical multiband dipole. Well, if it's multi-band, one feed line should have it perking on those bands that the dipole has been trapped for, if they're using traps, or if it's multiple wire dipoles, one coax, and automatically the RF will find the resonant wires to go to.
Yeah, that's really important. That the key word there, if you listen to Gordo, is resonant wire. Absolutely. There was a lot of things going on in the chat room. They were tossing all those questions back and forth. But here's a couple for you, George, coming from Bob W9WTF. He says, shouldn't you leave a little reflected power in to increase antenna performance? George, go ahead.
No, I don't believe so. I have never heard that before. Now, I know sometimes on your meter, you might notice if you've got a higher reflected power, you've got a higher forward power, it's lying to you. Isn't that right, Gordo?
Yeah, I agree. I would probably go for minimum RF. Occasionally, with a lot of RF output, you'll get a false indication that there's some reflected power, but it's actually just getting back into the meter. And a good indication that you're putting out a smashing signal is what Amanda had. And if she's causing her burglar alarm system or her intercoms to jump out of the wall, that means you got a great signal. Don't change a thing.
All right. That sounds like a good idea, except you might want to put some kind of coil around that so it doesn't overreact. There's a way around that, because I used to have the garage door go up and down when I was on 75 meters running a little bit of power. No kidding. And still to this very day, even with whatever was rigged up to keep it from doing that, the garage door doesn't go on. But I'll tell you what, the little light inside the garage still sort of has a glow now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not over it yet. Well, we'll figure it out. There's more to do. There always is in ham radio. We're never finished. It's always a work in progress. You know that. So anyhow, let's see. George, one more here from KD8QZE. Bob says, where can I find some plans for some simple, he says he's a newbie, for some simple, small, lightweight tuners for HF QRP long wires and half wavelength wire antennas? George.
You should be able to find all kinds of projects on the internet for that. Or the ARRL antenna handbook probably has some good things in there. I can't really recommend one source because there's just so many out there. Search for L networks or T networks and you'll come up with more than you could possibly build.
All right, then. Very good. Thank you. And I wanted to wish you, Mr. Don Wilbanks, a very, very happy, happy birthday. And I know everybody got to do that at the beginning of the show, so I didn't want to leave you out. And I like to see that big smiling face that you have, and you do such a great job with everything. And I just wanted to say happy birthday. And here we go.
There it is. Thank you. I was muted. Thank you, darling. I appreciate it.
No problem. You do a great job there. So here's some suggestions. First off, I'm probably going to ask you, Gordo, where do people send in suggestions? But before you answer that, let me just say here's three that were flying around in the chat room. And this is I didn't want them to think that they didn't get a shot at getting to talk to you directly here. So W5HJV Dave says, maybe not today, but could we get Gordo or George to discuss ladder line versus coax as one? NX0IA Dennis says, how about a program sources for digital ATV equipment? And KE6SLS says, I'd really like to see tuning some duplexers, both pass and reject type. Now, I know you're not going to get to those now, but where can they send their suggestions to? Because we can't do that in the chat room, guys. Gordo, could you give us an email perhaps to send those into?
Sure. They can send them to my call sign, and then I spread them out among all the hosts, WB6NOA@ARRL.net. And I think on our spectrum analyzer, we're going to show tuning the bandpass filters or some of the duplexers and the ATV digital. Great idea. We're working on that now. And the other one was so terrific that someone said, I'm fighting a cold and taking meds. You're right. It blew right out of my mind. But we're considering that one as well, whatever the first one was over.
Okay. An old Chinese song called Tuning. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know how that is when you're talking and people don't go off frequency a little bit, which is probably the better way. And they're going, and you're trying to have a conversation, but that's okay. All right, everyone. I invite you to come and join me on 3.847 megahertz tonight for the after show QSO. And I'd like to hear from you tonight. The noise floor sounds pretty clear and we have good weather here. So maybe we can get some of you in that I normally don't get. So please give me a shout. 3.847 megahertz on 75 meters. And it's been a great time in the chat room. Thanks for your participation. And for everybody else, I'm Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK. Until next time on Ham Nation.
All right. Thanks for doing that, Cheryl. We always enjoy hearing from the chat room. And we get a lot of suggestions. Just send it to whoever you think would be the appropriate person. Some of the things we can get to, some of them we can't, just because there's only so much time. And, you know, I don't have any duplexers, so I can't do that one. I don't have any digital ATV equipment either. So that's not a possibility for me, but, you know, if you need to know how to solder a connector or any number of things like that, you know, we'll certainly put them on the list there and get to them when we can. Well, Don, what is going on down in South Mississippi? Anything we can talk about this week? Any interesting ham events?
Not that I'm aware of. No ham fests that are going on right now. It's pretty much status quo. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to put the ICOM 7000 that's in my Jeep in my Toyota Solara convertible. The problem I have is it has a power antenna, and the way the trunk is designed, I have to put one antenna or the other very close to the power antenna. And with a new stereo that I have in there, when the stereo is on, the antenna is up all the time. I can't shove a CD in or go to a different source and have it lower the antenna like it could with a stock stereo. I've got an aftermarket JVC stereo in there with HD and Bluetooth and Sirius and all that other cool stuff. So I think I'm going to have to probably put a switch in line so that when I want that antenna down, I can flip that little toggle switch and take that antenna down, because the VHF, UHF antenna is going to have to be very, very close to it. That's the problem I had with the HF antenna on the Jeep, is I had to make an S-turn in the antenna on the Jeep so that I could get it away and it wouldn't react with the antenna so much. So that's what's going on ham radio-wise. Can you hear that hollow? If I turn my head, can you see all the way through? Look, can you see all the way through? That's usually the way that works. So that's what I'm trying to wrap my hollow beer-addled head around right now is my installation in the Solara convertible. So that's what's going on here anyway.
Yeah, I've seen some people take Trump lip mounts and actually put them on the hood of a vehicle before. I don't know if that's an option or not.
Yeah, that's ugly. You know that? Yeah. No, not on a nice little good convertible. I don't think so.
Okay. What's the answer, Gordo?
Yeah, no, not on the front. Nope. I like Don's idea of a switch. And Don, what we're doing is ICOM 718s. We got a dozen of them all headed for Christmas Island. A lot of hams down there. And they get them all tricked out and spin the most reliable, low-cost radio, 100 channels, 100 watts, and with the automatic antenna tuner, Tango 32, Gulf Whiskey's going to be on the air big time. And it's fun working with the group out of handling the medical facilities at Christmas Island. So, Don, you'll be busy with your vehicle. I'll be busy with Christmas Island radios. So, George, over to you. Cheryl, thanks for joining us. Dale, great videos. And Amanda, love your headdress and those great pink earphones. Thanks, chat room, for watching. I believe we're on 7278 tonight. Yep, sounds like an open channel. So you'll probably hear Garlic Mike and his net controls coming on shortly. George, over to you. 73, everyone.
Okay, Gordon, thanks. And yeah, that 718 is a nice little rig. I know ICOM's got a nice HF bass rig in next month's contest. Don will tell us about all that in just a moment. But right now, let's take a look at this message.
Some great D-Star radios have entered the market in the last year, but let's not forget all the solid analog radios out there. From radios strictly on 2 meters to dual banders with analog capability, ICOM has your complete analog solutions this fall. Check out ICOM's compact military rugged 2-meter IC23H mobile, 65 watts of stable output. Oversized tuning dial is easy to use. It's got 4.5 watts of loud audio and 270 memory channels and multiple scan options. Consider the ICV8000 for your next mobile adventure on 2 meters, 75 watts of output power, a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, and fast memory scanning with dynamic memory scan. ICOM's IC7000 is an all-mode HF, VHF, UHF mobile. It's a compact radio with a colorful high-res display, dedicated interface keys, and great tuning knob, built-in DSP noise reduction and filtering, and it's popular for de-expeditions and field days as well. Looking for rugged, easy-to-use handhelds with plenty of memory channels, loud audio, and long-lasting battery life? The ICV80 and the V80HD is a 2-meter handheld with 5.5 watts of high power. A built-in BTL amplifier helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, and it's great for noisy environments. There's 207 memory channels, and the HD version includes radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and a rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. The ICT70AHD is a dual-band transceiver for classic operation on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Like the V80HD, this version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and the rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. It's easy to program with a simple keypad, large backlit alphanumeric display, and it has 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, 302 memory channels, and fast scanning features. Why not take a look today? Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's analog ham radio selection.
And you know that V8000 or the 718 that Gordon showed and we talked about, that is an amazing radio. That has just some serious specs on it. So, yeah, it's a low-cost radio. It's kind of an entry-level HF radio, but, man, do not discount that. That thing has some serious specs on it. I want you to visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. You can find out all the information on the ICOM analog ham radio selection, and there are some nice radios in the analog field. You can also enter the ICOM weekly drawing for the swag, like the t-shirts, the hats, and don't forget to check out the details on the monthly grand prize drawing. It is the V8000 handheld right now. It'll be something else next month, but for right now, it's still the V8000 handheld, and that's a really serious radio. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. All the official rules are there. All the ICOM previous drawing winners are there. We hope to see your name on there soon. So sign up and good luck. And we thank ICOM for their support of Ham Nation. George, my friend, thanks for the birthday wishes from you and from everybody else in the chat room. Thank you so much for the warm birthday wishes. I can feel them all the way down here in South Mississippi. It's not just the humidity. It's the love I'm feeling. So 7-3 all from down here. George, back to you.
Well, thanks, Don. Yeah, we wanted you to have a happy birthday. And even though we couldn't get Bob, we thought a cat video would just have to do. So,
well, I'll tell you, the hair color is the same. The hair color looked just like him. Just Heil has let himself go. That was Bob. I know for a fact it was. He's really let himself go.
Yeah. Cheryl, good to see you again this week. And we look forward to you in the chat room next week.
Yeah,
and on the nets, as Gordon just told us, 72-78 on 40 meters with Mike. And also on Echolink, Star do drop in Star. That's node number 355-800. And the D-Star net should be on Reflector 14 Module C. Tom was not there last week, so I don't know if we'll be having it tonight or not, but you can check in there and find out. And one other new net that's just starting up here. You know, you can do D-Star on HF radios now. And there's been a group of guys holding a D-Star HF net five times a week on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and Sunday mornings. And the group's been growing there. So they're also doing a D-Star HF net after Ham Nation. And if you would like to check that out, go to Reflector 30C and they'll be coordinating the frequencies they'll use on HF there. And that's one more new net for Ham Nation here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. Bob will be back next week. Until then, 73.
Whiskey Tango 6 Hotel for the Ham Nation Pro Show net tonight on 7.
Hey, sure, everybody.